Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A 14-year-old boy is shot outside the Lloyd Center Mall. A Vancouver man leaves the hospital and then runs out into traffic. And gay teen suicides are more prevalent in conservative Oregon counties.
Don't do it. As always, my friends have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves for this. This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, April 19th, 2011. A 14-year-old boy was shot outside the Lloyd Center Mall in Northeast Portland just before 5 p.m. on Monday. Police said they received several reports of shots fired, and when they arrived, they found the victim on a sidewalk in Holiday Park. An ambulance crew transported the victim to Legacy Emmanuel Hospital with life-threatening injuries, and he's believed to be in critical condition. Three people said they witnessed the shooting, that they said three African-American men wearing hoodies walked up to the victim, shot him in the head, and then ran to a dark Toyota and drove away. One witness named Drew Keels said, and this is a direct quote, "It was nuts. They loaded off a full clip, and that's all we heard. There were at least 12 consecutive shots in a row, and then we watched the guys running across the park into the parking lot, and they got into a car and drove off." Another witness said, and again, this is a direct quote, "We were standing on the corner and heard pop, 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 and we were like, oh my gosh.
Someone's having a party."
The shooting occurred near the intersection of Northeast 11th Street and Northeast Multnomah on the northwest corner of Holiday Park. The scene, some of the mall parking lots and surrounding streets were blocked off for through traffic for the investigation.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, April 19th, 2011. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, you got your entertainment news, also science on the march. Don't forget, you can get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device if you if that's your pleasure, if that's what you wish to do. If that's how you'd like to live your life, you can do it. We make it possible. It is mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. And, of course, the Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. That is rickemersonshow.com. Today we got your clergy watch, also a taser watch coming up. That is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
A Clark County Fire District spokeswoman says a shoeless man wearing hospital patient scrubs was critically injured Monday night when he ran into Vancouver area traffic and was hit by a vehicle. Spokeswoman Dawn Johnson says the 41-year-old man had just been released from Legacy Salmon Creek Medical Center in Vancouver, where he was taken earlier in the evening after reports that he was running into traffic, swinging his fists, and yelling at cars.
It's odd they fixate on the shoeless part of that. You think there are other things in this article that are probably more directly impactful, no pun intended.
The crazy and screaming part?
Yeah, well, you know, the running into traffic part, I would think. That poses a more immediate threat.
Still earlier Monday, the man had been released from another hospital, Southwest Washington Medical Center, where he had been admitted Sunday for an unknown medical reason. He was taken back to Southwest Washington after he was injured. He was not identified.
All right. Do you say he was hit by a car or he was just running around in traffic?
He got hit by a car. Apparently, he had been in a hospital, ended up in another hospital, and then he left that hospital and then ran out into traffic, got hit by a car, was taken back to the first hospital.
What is his name?
They did not share his name.
So there's no way that I can really make a shoeless Joe Jackson joke here. I mean, I could, but it would be pointless.
If his name was Joe Jackson, though.
It would just be speculative at this point.
It would be, yeah.
All right. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. Lots to come this hour, including this story right here.
This one? Just after midnight on Tuesday, a man named Mr. Short came home. Came home from the Melbourne Comedy Festival in Australia with a few beers under his belt. Buoyed by the booze, he thought this was the right time to tackle a beehive of about 8,000 bees that had settled in his backyard and moved onto his rooftop.
Not a figurative beehive.
No, an actual bee hive.
Okay.
So, loaded up on booze, the recently registered amateur beekeeper donned his suit and climbed up the ladder just after midnight. All was going well, he said, until he noticed some bees crawling across his veil. I was going, how did they get out? Maybe they just came home late, because bees come home late, too. And then I realized, he's not on the outside. He's on the inside of my veil.
They come home late, like Andy Cap.
It was then I realized he's not on, yeah. It was then that he bumped the hive, and all of the bees escaped, with about 60 of them going inside his suit.
That's fantastic.
The only problem was, he said, I was on the ladder holding the hive, so the job wasn't done yet. And at that point, it was easier to go up than down. So there they were, stinging my eyes, but I had to carry on to try and make sure I wasn't going to fall off the roof anymore. So there was that little bit of work to do. And then I said, best to go down.
I don't think he understands exactly what the phrase, the only problem was, means. Because if the only problem is that you're holding the hive, but then you follow that by, and then they were stinging my eyes.
Then the 60 bees inside my suit.
Seems like maybe you're
my eyes.
Understating the seriousness of the rest of the issue there.
He said, There was a stinging sensation, but I was going like, is that a bee sting? Surely it feels worse than that. So I wasn't sure if they stung me. But after a while, you figure it out. You know, after about 20.
Have we? Okay.
He was Australian and drunk. He's an Irishman living in Australia, and he was drunk.
So he was, that's like being, it's like how they say mother is eating for two. He really is drinking for two nations constantly. Drinking for two cultures and peoples all the time.
So he ended up at the hospital with about 60 bee stings to his upper body, face, neck, arms, and chest. He said his main worry was he was too scared to call his wife, who was away for a few nights with their young daughters. He said she was away, so I thought that was the perfect night to do it, because you can't call the missus to get involved in lifting beehives.
Well, you can. She doesn't like it, though.
So, there you go.
She becomes cross about that sort of thing. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. So they stung him. When he says they stung him 20 times, that sounds like 20 times, like, just in the eye. It's 20 times maybe all over.
And he got about 60 stings altogether before he ended up at the hospital.
All right.
On his chest and face and eyes and...
God almighty.
Yeah.
Okay, then. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Yes, I'm right here at the news desk.
How you doing over there?
I'm fine.
Okay.
The...
By the way, when I ask that, it's not like it's really an invitation for you to vent about something if something is wrong. It's just something I'm asking to be polite. I don't really care.
Oh.
Just so we can all draw a distinction right here. I mean, I care. I just don't care now.
All right.
I'll care in an hour or so.
Mm.
Now we just care by giving information to the people because time is short.
Okay.
Life ticks away, Don.
All right.
Sands through the hourglass.
Just sorting things over here. Today is the 16th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing that killed 168 people, and the annual memorial service was conducted this morning at the site. Nicholas Ryan Smith is a survivor of the attack. He was in preschool at the time.
May all who leave here know the impact of violence. May this memorial offer comfort, strength, peace, hope, and serenity.
You know, this is the weirdest thing. I was actually just talking to somebody about this the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine with whom I did whom I did talk radio back in. So it's 50. What did you say? 1996.
Yeah.
15th anniversary. So because we've talked a lot about how we feel like we're in such a 90s vibe here because we got you know, what with all the political polarization and so forth. But I remember doing that doing a talk show the week that the Oklahoma City bombing happened, and it was just. It was just one of those moments which we had a lot during the 90s and which we seem to be getting a lot of now. And I'm not complaining about it. It just sort of seems to be the distinctly cyclical nature of man. It just seemed like we were having this weird sense of national vertigo. Like the entire country was just like we were just like one or two just like bad days away from just like all together just throwing up our hands and just going insane. Just
well, with all the oil spills and the nuclear catastrophes and the tornadoes and the... The gas prices and the unemployment.
Well, and also just like the shooting and the death and the crazy and the the exploding. So, when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, there was all of this stuff. And I saw a brown man leaving in a van. And that was like the first for like a day and a half. That's all you heard is that there was some swarthy man who'd been speeding away in a white panel van. Of course, then that gave way to the equally crazy, like, you know, the government really blew it up. So, you know, everything old is new again.
Richard Williams is one of those who survived, and he says he's glad that so many people visit the museum that's built on the site.
It won't be many years before there won't be any family members, survivors, or rescuers left who were involved that day. But the story is safe, and the lesson will be there for the learning. And as long as it is, maybe no one else will have to endure what we did.
Hey, is Tim McVeigh dead? We kill him?
I think we just locked him up tight for, like, ever.
No, I think he's dead.
Is he dead?
I think he's dead long time.
No.
I'm not sure, though. I think he was one of those guys that got the death penalty, but that doesn't really mean anything. You know, the death penalty is sort of like, that's just like a living in a small room penalty.
I'm assuming this man means that it won't be long in relative terms before no one is around, because it's only been 15 years. And the first guy who talked was in preschool.
I think he's speaking
in
a universal sense.
Okay.
You know, in the sense that really no one... To God, it is as though it were a blink of an eye.
Because a guy who fought in World War I just died. So I think people have...
I think he's speaking in a metaphysical sense.
Right.
Yes, no, he's hella dead, someone says of Tim McVeigh.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you, sir.
Thank All right. you. A widow victimized by a Facebook scammer has come forward to warn other vulnerable women not to fall into the same trap. Kathleen Wortman of Forest Grove said it was embarrassing to admit that she was conned for $30,000, but the scam hit her as she was mourning the loss of Wally, her husband of 54 years. Police think the scammer saw Wally's obituary, and Wortman said several weeks after Wally's death, a man calling himself Wayne Pitts...
He'd want you to have this Bible.
...contacted her through Facebook, then phone calls and email, described himself as an architect in London. He started to describe medical woes for which he had no money to pay the bills. Wortman wired money to a Ukrainian bank. When she finally cut off the money, he cut off contact with her. Investigators told Wortman that it was little they could do, other than suggest that...
How old is she?
...she not be an idiot. She's, I don't know. She was married for 54 years,
well,
so I guess she's...
Because we have to draw a dividing line between idiot and just old. So
Why is it that old people seem to get so much stupider, though, about things like this?
I don't really know that it's stupid. You don't know how to operate half the... You can't hook up your goddamn television.
I would know if I was wiring money to the Ukraine.
I'm just saying, let's not be rash about labeling other people dumb because they can't operate simple devices. Dawn. Printer! I'm just saying. It's like somebody couldn't even put... I don't know how to put in the printer cartridge.
Because I haven't done it.
I'm just saying, if somebody's dumb because they don't understand technology, then that's a pot and kettle thing. That's all I'm saying. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you were there. Go on ahead.
State police say a man thought to be roaming inside a Massachusetts mall with a rifle was actually carrying an umbrella. Authorities say the man called state police Tuesday after hearing reports about the Burlington Mall being evacuated because of an unconfirmed report of a man with a rifle walking around the Nordstrom's department store. The Massachusetts State Police wrote on their Twitter account that police had received two calls about a short white man with a gray shirt and a backpack and carrying what appeared to be a rifle. But state police say witnesses and surveillance footage confirmed the man was just carrying an umbrella to protect himself from the rain outside. He is an employee of the nearby hospital.
So he was just carrying the umbrella. Well, it wasn't raining at the time. He was just carrying it under his arm, and somebody saw the umbrella and thought it must be a rifle.
Yes. And then they called the police. And
that's interesting. Because where was this at?
This was in Burlington, Massachusetts.
Oh, well, see, maybe Massachusetts. I was going to think here. It's one of those things where... Maybe it depends on where you live. It seems like you probably see a lot more, I'll put it this way, you see a lot more people who are likely to be carrying umbrellas than rifles, depending on where you live. It just seems like maybe if you were going to start going down the list of likely suspects for things that are, that are small and thin and dark that you're carrying alongside you, it doesn't seem like rifle be at the top of the list, but
No. Maybe
Massachusetts, maybe that's the part of their live free or die thing. Are they the don't tread on me state? Where's the don't tread on me place?
I don't know.
I think it's New Hampshire, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I could be wrong. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Match.com will begin screening users against national sex offender databases following one woman's alleged rape by a man she met through the site. The woman who works in film and television in Los Angeles sued the company after she found her date had been convicted of sexual battery. According to a statement it released Sunday, Match.com had previously avoided conducting background checks because it feared such checks would be incomplete and misleading. Following the lawsuit, however, the company will accelerate plans to vet potential members using publicly available sex offender lists. The woman's attorney, Mark Webb, said he would ask the court judge to prohibit Match.com from signing up new users until it had implemented an adequate screening process.
So is that a thing? Well, it must be a pay site then.
Yeah, you become a member. You join.
So it's like, I thought that, because, is it one of those things where everybody has to... I mean, you have to join, but you have to join Gmail. It's not like you have to put in your legal information.
No, but you have to pay for it. You have to actually buy a membership.
So it's Match.com. Does everybody have to do that? It's not one of those things where it's free for chicks?
I don't think so. No,
okay.
I think women
right.
have to pay as well.
Okay, because that's like the thing they were talking about with... They were talking about that with Facebook, that they were going to be using, like, Facebook was going to be doing what they could to screen out sexual predators, which is like... I don't even know how you would do that.
Yeah, I don't.
Unless they're going to be using your IP address or something, which I guess is possible. If your IP address is tied to... If you have a fixed IP address and it's tied to a specific geographic location, then it seems like they could be using that to figure out where you are logging in from. And if you're logging in from one of the happy red dots on the map that seems to fill many of our neighborhoods. Other than that, I mean, I can't imagine how you would even suss that information out. It's a mystery. All right.
Here's Don Taylor.
Well, speaking of which, Facebook is announcing a new section on its social networking site devoted to keep kids safe online. Chief Privacy Officer John Sullivan says parents need to approach their teen's social... I know.
That must be the easiest job ever. He doesn't even have to go to work or exist.
Chief Privacy Officer. Is his job just
to play rim shots after all of the press releases they put out?
Yeah, then, well, every once in a while, every few weeks, they make some change, and then he just sits back and, lets all the emails flow in with everyone saying how angry they are. Chief Privacy Officer John Sullivan says parents need to approach their teens' social networking use like they would getting a driver's license for their teenagers.
You didn't start talking to them about safety on the roads when they got that license. You started talking about it when they started crawling out towards the street.
Right.
And so what we've designed the Safety Center to get a bunch of educational material for parents so that they can think about that dialogue over time.
When they started crawling toward the street, what is the street here? And who's...
What is the crawling in
this story?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sullivan says Facebook is also expanding its social reporting feature, allowing users to report abusive content.
When you report something, you don't have the option to just report it to Facebook. You can also report it to a family member or a mentor of some other kind. So you can start that conversation.
He's being interviewed by a snork. Hold on.
When you report something, you don't have the option to just report it to Facebook. You can also report it to a family member or a mentor of some other kind. So you can start that conversation.
Okay.
But you could do that already. It's called just like turning around and saying,
"Get in here."
Yeah.
Look at this. It's a way that you can instant message your parent in the other room so that they can come in and check something out.
Sullivan says users can report abusive content not only to Facebook, but also to the person who posted it or a trusted adult.
I wish that my kids would have that easy way to say, I saw something online that hurt me today that one of my friends did. How do I deal with it? Well, for the parent, they'll just get that in their inbox.
You know what they should use? They should use Xbox Live, because Xbox Live doesn't... they don't play. If you start being a dick for a long time on Xbox, the difference between Xbox Live and Facebook, I guess, is that to use Xbox Live, it's just as we were noted with Match.com, to use Xbox Live, they actually have to... You have to sign up with a credit card, and there has to be a whole like tracking thing, which I guess is what makes it a little bit different. But again, you got to figure that like an IP address, Facebook knows who you are, and they got to be able to figure out where you're logging in from at least some of the time. But yeah, you start being a dick on Xbox Live, and you're going to find that you can't log on to like anything anywhere from anywhere associated with any of your IP addresses. I mean, you're just going to go that. And what's so great about Xbox Live, and I forget the guy's name, but I think it's that guy that goes as Major Nelson on their podcast. But he was doing some sort of a press conference about. They just brought the ban hammer down on just tens of thousands of people, I think, not too long ago. And they were all gleeful about it. He put out a press release, and he's like, you know, because a bunch of people were flooding in Xbox Live with complaints about how I can't log in on my account. And he said, in effect, that is because you are a cheating dickhead. Goodbye now. And just, you know. And
was that when people were using the
Modded games?
Yeah,
and they were,
and cracks of Tour of Duty or something
were,
like that.
And also doing just a lot of irritating crap. There was a lot of people doing this thing that they could, that it's called de-leveling. And so de-leveling is this thing that happened all, I don't know if it still does, but it happened all the time on Xbox when I was playing a lot of Halo 2. And the longer you play a game like Halo 2, it learns, Xbox Live, the system learns your skill level and it learns how good you are at the game. And then if you're doing random matchmaking for games, it makes sure that it doesn't pair you against somebody who's either way better or way worse. So you're playing against somebody that is more or less ranked at your same level. Because otherwise you just get a bunch of guys who are just getting annihilated by like 50 level players or something. Which I guess is fine. But if like your kid goes on, you don't want him to just get hosed out of the gate. The theory is you want him to be able to actually enjoy the game by not just getting shafted constantly. Which made it really difficult. For Xbox, because what people would do is there would be these guys who would just attain a massive level of skill at Halo, and then they would spend a day and a half just blowing each other up with grenades like jagoffs, so that they would then artificially de-level themselves and get down to a ranking of like 2 out of 50, and then they would go on and take a lot of pleasure in just laying waste to me basically, and also small children. So Microsoft, though, they put some algorithm in place that makes it impossible to do that. It makes it much more difficult to do that. So they could really teach Facebook a thing or two about this.
McDonald's is looking to hire as many as 50,000 people today as part of its National Hiring Day promotion. Jobs are available at both the corporate and restaurant levels. Job seekers can go to the company's website or check at local franchises to find positions. Robert Hughes, owner of 4 McDonald's franchises in eastern Pennsylvania, told CNN, "I'm hopeful to bring in at least a dozen new employees, if not more. Sales across the country and then regionally are doing so well that we have that need to be hiring more people." In the Houston, Texas area, McDonald's is looking to hire 1,500 employees. Kimberly Kelly Elizondo, an owner-operator in the Houston area, said, "At McDonald's, we believe our employees do incredible things. If you have the desire for a career and a passion for quality, you should see what McDonald's offers."
I had, for the longest time in my back door when I was growing up, I had a rejection letter from McDonald's hung up just to sort of keep me, just to give me a sense of my place in the grand order of things, where I tried to get a job, I think, the last couple years of high school, and I would go on and apply, and they go, "That's great, we'll take it under advisement, thanks so much." And then like a week later, I would just get a thing in the mail saying that like I had no skills which met their current needs. You want to talk about really just having a humbling experience and just staring into the endless abyss of your own soul, being told by McDonald's that you have no skills that match their current needs.
Yeah.
It's amazing I didn't just kill myself.
They hire old folks and retarded people.
Seriously. I mean, and I was young and retarded, which is kind of like being the same thing. So, what are you going to do?
Another round of severe storms today could strike Oklahoma, one of the states hit by a wave of violent weather last week. CNN's Weather Center in Atlanta described the risk of severe weather as moderate. This time, the forecast for severe weather is focused on the Midwest instead of the South, where 45 people perished in a swath of extreme storms, including tornadoes last week. The area is facing a moderate risk of tornadoes and high winds on Tuesday. It extends from the Midwest to the Ohio River Valley. Also included are the cities of Tulsa, St. Louis, and Indianapolis. The threat of heavy storms is predicted to diminish in those areas on Wednesday, but the Northeast could experience isolated outbreaks of severe storms later in the day. Is the world actually coming to an end?
I believe so.
Okay.
No, unfortunately not.
No.
That's the sort of thing that you... That is one of those things that people say with equal parts dread and hope, because then they think, like, I won't have to make my next car payment. But then it just and it never happens.
Yeah.
That's what Dorothy Parker would call the flaw in paganism.
Lesbian, gay, and bisexual teens are 25% less likely to attempt suicide in socially supportive environments, according to new research. A study published Monday in Pediatrics surveyed 32,000 Oregon high school students about health issues, including sexual orientation, and found that schools with gay-straight alliances, policies that specifically target LGBT bullying, and anti-discrimination measures that protect employees and students can drastically reduce the risk of teen suicide. Other indices of a supportive environment include a higher proportion of same-sex couples and a higher proportion of Democrats in the county. These findings are important in part because gay teens are five times as likely to kill themselves as their straight peers.
I would imagine also having hot gay dating action helps.
That too. He said in a press statement, author Mark L. Hotzenbuehler, who wrote the study, said in a statement that he hopes his research would provide a roadmap for how we can reduce suicide attempts among lesbian, gay, and bisexual youth. Let's do our science.
Here's your science on the mark. Brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at Squires Electric. .com. That is SquiresElectric.com. Or you can call 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. So we were talking about this yesterday, actually, in the Rick Emerson show. I swear to God. So I'm actually talking to Joe Squires tomorrow, and I'm gonna throw out this idea that he's got to come on like once every couple weeks, and he's got to explain to the best of his ability if you had some sort of, you know, let's take like a fantasy or sci-fi device and how it might happen and how it might actually work or exist or function if it existed in the real world.
Like that food replicator thing on Star Trek?
Like the food replicator thing or like the, or perhaps the flux capacitor or your, I think it was somebody. I instinctively believe it to be Thomas Gill, who was telling me, he was explaining something about the, about dilithium crystals and how dilithium crystals were actually based on that was, in fact, just a one-step removed replication or analog or whatever you want to call it to nuclear power, as Joe Squires had discussed it. So seems like one of those things he might do in the future because that's a, you know, because he's just like, because, you know, this, I mean, you've been in his office where it's like him and he's sitting there and, you know, the, managing the Squires Electric Empire and then using like a lot of the rest of his brain power to organize his baseball card collection. Not that that's not, you know, like a worthwhile pursuit. I'm just saying, seems like he's got a, you know, he's got a big mountain of intelligence inside that head. We could be funneling it out toward the people.
Good.
For entertainment and amusement purposes. So Squires Electric can be contacted at SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors, so they can help you get with the upgrading, the repairing, the installing, or just making sure that you can pass your next inspection. That is SquiresElectric.com or 503-252-1609. They are the proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
A team of archaeologists from the Kentucky Archaeological Survey have removed nearly 100 sets of human remains found in an unmarked cemetery on the grounds of Eastern State Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky, about double the amount they expected to find when the project began. The graves are located where crews are preparing for a scheduled construction of a new Bluegrass Community Technical College. The remains are believed to be those of patients at the Eastern State Hospital, buried between 1840 and 1860. The remains were discovered back in February by crews clearing the grounds for construction of the campus. The process of unearthing the remains is expected to be completed by April 1st, but continues because of delays caused by periods of inclement weather. The remains are being sent to the University of Kentucky's Laboratory of Archaeological Research to be processed and examined, then reinterred within the defined cemetery on the hospital grounds. The hospital first admitted patients in 1824 and still houses approximately 150 patients. In 2008, it was agreed the hospital would relocate to another site. Construction of the new campus and the new hospital is supposed to occur in 2013. And in 2005, they just found masses of dead bodies.
Excellent.
Yes. Ducks use bill color to determine a potential mate's sexual health, according to scientists. A study has revealed that duck semen can destroy bacteria such as E. coli, which can infect and damage sperm. The same study found that males...
Is that just a thing that male ducks tell female ducks?
Yeah.
No, it's good for you.
Yes. Males with more colorful bills apparently have more effective antibacterial sperm. So that's what they do, is they show off their colorful bills and they go, see, look at that, see, see, I'm clean. It's like an HIV test, only the color of your bill.
It's like a tricorder,
yeah,
sort of a thing.
The same study found, researchers suggest that females probably use bill color as a visual cue when choosing a mate to avoid sexually transmitted diseases. Their findings, which is kind of the opposite of how humans are. I think the more bright the plumage on a human, the more likely you are to get a sexually transmitted disease.
Are you just talking about guys who wear feathers in their hats?
Yeah, okay. and flamboyant dressers in general.
What do you mean? I'm not being rhetorical. I honestly have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe I'm just still thinking about Network and all those guys from the 70s wearing those slimy, bright-colored shirts.
So if you're sleeping with guys in the 70s, you're more likely to get...
Yes.
Okay.
Again, we could talk to Joe Squires about time travel.
I'm just going to nod my head. Okay. Yes, that makes... Yes, absolutely. Have some.
Dr. Melissa Rowe from the University of Oslo, who led the research, said this is the first time anyone has shown that avian semen has antibacterial activity. Previously, it had been shown from mammals, crabs, and insects, but never birds. They did find that mallards with more colorful bills containing more yellow pigments had superior bacteria-fighting semen. Crazy-ass billionaire Richard Branson plans to create a colony of lemurs on an undeveloped island he owns in the Caribbean. He said yesterday it's a radical idea to save an endangered primate that's disappearing from its native habitat. Branson, who long has been involved in efforts to save threatened animals around the world, said he plans to bring the first group of about 30 lemurs from zoos in coming weeks to Mosquito Island, part of the British Virgin Islands, where they would be the only wild population outside of Africa.
Paging Amanda Fritz.
Experts determined that lemurs would find a suitable habitat there, about 85 miles from Puerto Rico, with its plentiful tamarind trees for food and lack of humans to encroach on the territory. Branson told the Associated Press, "I was really trying to come up with a radical idea to save them." The businessman and adventurer secured permission from the government of the British Territory to import the lemurs and said he hopes to find a way to address concerns of critics who fear the non-native primates will harm local birds and lizards. He said he plans to start with the relatively common ring-tailed lemurs, which he's acquiring from zoos in Africa, Sweden, and Canada, but hopes to eventually have more than a dozen species on the island.
This seems like one of those things that's going to end really, really badly. The cure for us just... We cannot be both the cause and cure of some problem. That just doesn't make any logical sense, especially if the mechanism for both is exactly the same. People can, on the one hand, complain that we're just like wrecking the joint by inadvertently moving things around to places where they're not used to being and introducing them, say that the cure for that is just to do it more. It's not a Rubik's Cube. It's not like you got to get it as far apart as possible and then see if it can all find its way back together to where it's supposed to be.
You imagine, though, what a day just being around Richard Branson must be like. That he gets up in the morning and sits there and drinks his coffee or whatever and then says, I'm going to go into space. I'm going to go to the bottom of the ocean. I know. I'm going to make a lemur island.
I think it would just be awesome. Also, I wonder if Mosquito Island is a place that is actually really fantastic and plush, and if they just call it that to keep the rabble away.
Like Skull Island.
Anthrax Island. You just go like, well...
Like Monster Island, which is awesome.
Well, no, see, I would totally go there. If you just called it, you know, what is it? Well, it's Tomaine Island. It's like, you would stay away from that, it seems to me.
That's all the science.
There's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609, Squires Electric. They are proud sponsors of that, your Science on the March. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up next hour today. We got Clergy Watch, Taser Watch coming up and so forth. Plus, we got a little bit more in the way of Facebook stuff and so forth. Plus, another installment of The Greatest Songs Ever Made. So that is coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com.
Gasoline prices are inching towards $4 a gallon. They average $3.82 per gallon, according to the AAA survey. Former Shell Oil Chairman John Hoffmeister, founder of Citizens for Affordable Energy, says the U.S. needs to increase oil production.
Is this oil or gas?
Oil.
Cut. Okay.
Oil.
In the short term, like this year, I think we'll see a little bit more upward movement depending upon what happens in the Middle East. I'm more worried about next year and the following year.
Do you really trust a guy who founds an organization called Citizens for Affordable Energy, who's like a former chairman of Shell Oil?
Absolutely.
Especially then when he turns around and says, we need to increase oil production.
Well, see, I would think that everybody could agree on that, though. I mean, whatever your position on the political or ideological spectrum, I would think that we could all agree that we should step up oil production, because then it just solves the problem one way or the other. Like, either we find a whole bunch of it and we're set for, like, the next 100 years, or we use it all, and then we got to come up with something else. It seems like if you're an environmentalist or some anti-oil nutcase, the best thing that could possibly happen is for to use it, like, as quickly, for it to run out, and then we'd have no choice but, like, a bunch of fat white bastards at oil companies to do, you know, they'd be out of work and they'd have to find something else. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if it's not there, then, you know, if the cupboard is empty, you got to go somewhere else. No oil left, you have to come up with, we'll have to find something else that's dangerous and gives everybody cancer. And they can do it, though. That's, you know, I believe in them.
Huffmeister says $4 per gallon gas may just be the beginning.
The world's been stuck at 86 million barrels a day crude oil production. And if the U.S. doesn't pick up its contribution to that crude oil production, we'll be looking back at $5 in a couple of years.
Okay, then.
Police in Florida say that when a woman tried to pull over... I'm sorry, I'm going to start this one from the beginning again.
Okay, just...
All right, there we go. Police in Florida say when an officer tried to pull over Roberta Spen, 64, on Monday for having faulty brake lights, she instead pulled into a McDonald's drive-thru lane and ordered lunch. The exchange happened along University Drive just south of Atlantic Boulevard in whatever town this is in Florida. At about 2 p.m., Officer Courtney Vassell pulled up behind Spen in the drive-thru lane, got out of the patrol car. With police lights flashing behind him, he told her to pull out into the parking lot for a traffic stop. Spen, however, completed her food order, paid the bill, and then drove her 2001 Chevrolet out of the parking lot and into the street. Vassell then flipped on his siren and stopped Spen outside the McDonald's, where he said she rolled her window down 1 inch, said she was not speeding, and was not going to roll her window down. Spen also refused to hand over her driver's license, vehicle registration, and proof of insurance, and then drove away.
Is this an old person?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Vassell, well, 64 isn't that old.
No, but it, see, it's like, but that's
but
the thing.
She's 64 in Florida, so.
And you're on the line where you could probably just, I mean, even if you weren't old and out of it, you could probably feign it, you know? You could fake that.
So Vassell got back in his patrol car, flipped on his emergency lights again, and followed Spen as she turned onto Northwest 98th Avenue, kept driving. Several other police officers joined the pursuit. Although the police lights did not stop Spen, a red light did, and several officers attempted to box her in. Somehow, though, she was able to drive in reverse out of the box and continued driving north. She finally stopped at a gas station, where officers again surrounded her car. This time, when she refused to leave the car, the officers went in and got her by smashing the driver's side window and pulling her out.
No tasing.
No tasing.
Everybody's asking if she got tased.
No tasing.
Strange.
They did, however, take her to jail, arrest on charges of fleeing and eluding, resisting arrest without violence, and driving with defective equipment. Remember, this all started for her having faulty brake lights.
Right.
Police said on the arrest report they found no indication she was under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and they could find no explanation for why she just didn't pull over.
Okay, then. Well, maybe she was just feeling obstreperous. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. You can get this program later on today if you would like at iTunes. If you only hear part of it, you want to hear it again later, you just want to have it for your collection right next to your collection of Don Taylor hair and the Rick Emerson toenail clippings that you keep with you at all times, like talismans, like totems. You can also directly download it as an MP3 here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can take it with you as well when you go. That is mobile.cascadia.com. Mobile.cascadia.com. The Rick Emerson Show is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. We welcome brand new listener Tracy today. So new subscriber Tracy joining the Rick Emerson extended family. That is at rickemersonshow.com, where your first week is free. And after that, an unbelievably scant 32 cents a day.
So that's $32 a day?
It's no, 32 cents, Dawn. I mean, you would think because
like
$32
pennies?
A day, pennies, not even half a dollar. I mean, it's not. Look, let's. Can I?
I've got like a month's worth of show just on the floor of my car.
I was going to say you could steal more than that from the plaid pantry penny tray like every morning. Now, I'm not saying you should, but we don't care where you get the money. It doesn't matter to me. I'll take tainted cash. I, you know, hey, it all spends the same. So you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Not that, you know, it's. I'm not saying you, like, knock over the March of Dimes, you know, or anything.
No,
that
but
would
I mean,
be wrong.
Can,
but
you
I mean,
you can return your empties and get enough money to listen to our show.
Like, just, you know, just, like, look in your wife's, like, the little, you know, the little ashtray thing in the car that, you know, you don't really use as an ashtray anymore. That's just, like, used for wads of gum and quarters. I'm just saying, you find that there. So your first week is free in any event. After that, just 32 cents a day. So we welcome brand new listener Tracy today. You can hear the Rick Emerson. If you, you know, because, it's like, if 12:59 comes around and you say, by God, you know, I was so happy for this last 59 minutes when I was hearing Rick and Don do Legion of News. If only I could hear them for hours more every day, doing not just, you know, a rerun or a repeat of this show, but perhaps brand new content. You can hear that at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
The operator of Japan's crippled nuclear plant began pumping highly radioactive water from a basement of one of its buildings to a makeshift storage area today in a crucial step towards easing the nuclear crisis. Removing the 25,000 metric tons of contaminated water, that would be 6.6 million gallons, that is collected in the basement of a turbine building at Unit 2 of the Fukushima Daiichi plant will help allow access for workers trying to restore cooling systems that were knocked out in the tsunami. It is but one of many steps in a lengthy process to resolve the crisis. Tokyo Electric Power Company projected in a roadmap released over the weekend that it would take up to 9 months to reach a cold shutdown of the plant, but government officials acknowledge that setbacks could slow that timeline.
Mistakes were made.
Like, I was talking to my husband about this last night, and one of the things we're discussing is that whole thing of we all know all the time that governments always lie to you.
Yes.
So if, like,
if they'll admit this much.
Yeah, if they'll admit that it's this bad.
Yeah. How bad is it really?
That the radiation is 6,500 times. Like, Patrick made an interesting point where he said one of the things they keep saying to people who are living in, like, in Tokyo. Well, the people in Tokyo, you're okay. It's not that bad. The radiation isn't that bad. It's like getting an X-ray. But the thing is, it's like getting an X-ray all day, every day. Apparently, the real thing about that is it's like it's the equivalent of getting 900 X-rays in a year.
Yeah, which you probably don't want. I mean, and let's be honest, I would imagine that people in Japan, it's probably it's not even like a bell. It's just one or the other. I would imagine that either people in Japan are extra sensitive to radiation, like in a physical sense at this point, or they're just completely immune. They've just become a race of, you know, just like super atomikazes themselves.
Well, yeah, their DNA is already starting to, like, sort of morph into Mothra or Gamera on some fundamental level.
Maybe this is why all the tentacle porn, maybe this is like that urban legend that we tried to start about the Cabbage Patch Kids. Maybe this is why the tentacle porn, because the government knows what the future holds, and so they were trying to acclimate people to the idea. Boiling the frog slowly, if you were. They were, you know, just like, let's see if we can get everybody used to the idea that we're all going to have tentacles and extra eyes in like 10 years. Just
now, I'm thinking that it's an indication of their physiognomy changing on a fundamental level, that they actually are finding tentacles appealing because their lizard brains are seeking this out. They don't even know why. Unconsciously, they are attracted to tentacles and weird big-headed monsters that shoot lasers out of their eyes but look like kitty cats.
Well, I think we can all agree that they're attracted to tentacles and don't know why. I mean, I don't even think that part's up for debate. All right, here is Don Taylor.
That's our entertainment
news. Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday, April 19th, 2011.
Elton John is returning to the Las Vegas Strip for a 3-year run at Caesar's Palace. The 5-time Grammy winner announced Monday he'll return with his million-dollar piano show to the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas starting in September. Oh, my God, he's turned into Liberace.
What do you mean, he's into Liberace?
He's actually fully turned into Liberace. I don't think I realized that until I saw that he's calling it his million-dollar piano show.
You didn't notice it when he was, you know, like walking around in a powdered wig and spats?
I don't think I ever really
piano covered in rhinestones? The Liberace Museum closed in Vegas, so somebody's got to fill that gap.
Yeah. Tickets for the first 16 shows go on sale April 25th. John completed his first run at Caesar's Palace in April 2009. The Red Piano, that was that show, was originally slated to run for 3 years, but was extended to a 5-year run because of audience demand. Jackass star Johnny Knoxville announced that he and his wife are expecting a baby. My 15-year-old daughter, Madison, is very excited about it, he said on his Facebook page. And her 16-month-old little brother, Rocco, has no clue. Wahoo.
Are you adding the wahoo?
No, he said wahoo on his Facebook page.
I wasn't sure. All right.
Charlie Sheen's estranged wife, Brooke Mueller, has returned to rehab to seek treatment for her drug addiction. Mueller, who has underwent rehab over the past several years, reportedly refused to take a drug test last Friday. And in other Sheen news, his $100 million lawsuit against his former employer is scheduled to come to a Los Angeles courtroom today. Sheen is expected, however, to miss the hearing. His violent Torpedo of Truth tour has him in Washington, D.C. tonight.
Which apparently has gotten much better. And it's interesting that the better it apparently does, the less there's press coverage about it. Because I guess that he whatever one wants to say about Charlie Sheen, apparently he has, as Gunning Hightower would say, apparently he has adapted and improvised and overcome. I guess after the first couple of nights that where he bombed so badly, he brought in some writers and he has people help him start crafting it. And apparently, like, the last of his New York dates went really, really well and the audience thought it was fantastic.
Huh.
And so it's funny that once he actually started doing well, the press was just instantly turned off of reporting on it.
Well, it's more interesting if he's just crazy and is about to implode.
Well, it doesn't really seem like the crazy part has probably changed, though, does it? I mean...
No, but there are a lot of actors and performers that are crazy. But if they get surrounded by enough people who are actually, like, you know, propping them up and shoving them out on stage and telling them what to say, they can coast for a very long time without doing anything truly entertaining.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see exactly how long it goes and if he does start making that like a yearly. He should totally do like a Sheen Fest, like once a year, like with the Insane Clown Posse. He should totally partner with the Juggalos and do like a Juggalo Sheen Fest.
It's our State of the Sheen, where once a year we can check in and see how he's doing.
Sheen Nation.
Yes.
I'm a form of band called Juggalo Sheen.
Juggalo Sheen.
Yeah.
See, now I'm just like, Juggalo Sheen, won't you come out tonight?
Juggalo Sheen should be some sort of a hair product.
Oh, yeah.
You know, give your, with extra volume and bounce from Juggalo Sheen. For today's, you know, stylish Latin clown.
Evan Rachel Wood divulged to Esquire that she's bisexual. I was always into very androgynous things, said the 23-year-old. Guys, girls, I'm into androgyny in general. Wood, who was once engaged to Marilyn Manson, also talked about how she's more assertive when she dates women. I'm more like the guy when it comes to girls, she said. I'm the dominant one. I'm opening the doors. I'm buying dinner. Yeah, I'm romantic. Wood, who is a recurring role on HBO's True Blood, plans to move to New York City and hopefully wants to meet a nice guy or a nice girl.
Yeah, that's really what she seems like she's in the market for, is nice guys and girls.
She is a rather stupendous actress who seems to be carving out this weird little side niche for herself, because she was in Todd Haynes' Mildred Pierce,
right,
as the horrible, horrible, horrible daughter who is incredibly beautiful and actually very talented, but just horrible. And she was so good and so beautiful and evil and terrible, but she was really good.
She's sort of like a Rose McGowan with talent.
Kind of, yes. TVLine.com reports that Alan Cumming has signed a 3-year deal to continue his role as campaign strategist Eli Gold on The Good Wife. CBS, however, has yet to renew the series. So
I don't even really know what The Good Wife is.
I don't either.
Okay.
Well, I think when it started like 2 years ago, it was like Juliana Margulies and her husband was like this famous politician and he cheated on her. Now she had to make a life of her own. And I think she's a lawyer or something. I've never watched a single episode of it. It's been going on for like a couple of years now. I have no idea what it's about beyond that. So,
okay then.
The Bachelorette star, Ali Fedotowsky, was hospitalized Sunday after she sustained injuries from a kayak accident. Ali was taken to the hospital and had 5 staples put in her head, said her rep. Fedotowsky and fiancé Robert Martinez, who she met on The Bachelorette, went kayaking in La Jolla, California. On her Twitter account, Fedotowsky tweeted, "Made it out of the ER with staples in my head and a little less hair after falling out of a kayak. Scary stuff. Wear helmet next time."
I like the phrase "with staples in my head." And just anytime that shows up in a story, it makes me happy.
Yes. And Nicolas Cage is back at work on the New Orleans set of the movie Medallion. Cage was arrested last Friday for disturbing the peace, domestic abuse, and public intoxication. An on-set source told People that Cage is fine. In fine shape and ready to work.
See, now I'm just hearing everything as a possible touring partner for Charlie Sheen, or as a wrestler named Sheen Cage. Action star Sheen Cage this summer.
Although Nick Sheen has a really nice
Nick Sheen,
look.
See, that's Nick what I'm saying. Sheen. Nick Sheen, Sheen Cage. Somebody is noting that I've actually got two. I will conflate both these comments because about the same thing. Somebody said it's too bad that Wesley Willis is dead, because then there could be like an Afro Sheen kind of tour. You know, two crazy guys, one stage, no waiting. Awesome. All right.
That's all the entertainment.
Really? That's all that's happening in the world that's entertaining? There's no other entertainment
all you
news?
Know, all that you want to know about. TV right. Land is developing a Hot in Cleveland spinoff that will be headlined by Cedric the Entertainer. Do you care about that?
I thought he was... okay, so wait. Cedric the Entertainer, but isn't he doing some... I thought he was doing some sitcom on Showtime. Maybe not.
I guess not anymore.
Maybe that's just a thing that was taught to me. I mean, that's not a thing that actually happened.
Yeah, Hot in Cleveland, I watched the first couple of episodes, and boy, there is a missed opportunity. Because that's... it's got just a great cast of women who have, like, years and years of experience in sitcom and situation comedy. And it's terrible. It's so badly written, and it's so horrible. And it's like this just terrible retro throwback to, like, awkward 70s sitcoms with, like, the slow pacing and the setup joke, setup joke, setup joke. It's awful.
Do you remember that thing that we did about 5 years ago in this country where there was that show that literally was just shot-for-shot recreations of old 70s sitcoms?
Yeah, I do.
What was up with that?
I don't
Why would someone ever have greenlit that? Was that just during the writer's strike or something? And they just thought, like,
probably.
Here's some crap that doesn't need to be written. It's in a file in my, it's in a cabinet in the basement. And like Fred Silverman, you know, like had it like in a drawer somewhere. And they just said, here you go. Have an old What's Happening episode. Awesome. Go make it so.
In the early days of my show, Ham-Fisted Radio, here on Cascadia.fm, I was trying to find new and different ways to be entertaining. And so one day we did...
Did you finally give up on that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Eric Snyder, Fatboy Roberts, and I did a dramatic reading of the final scenes from the first episode of The Golden Girls.
Oh, not multiple episodes. The final scenes from the first episode.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So it was... I played the Betty White character. And Eric Snyder was Dorothy, but for some reason he sounded like Regis Philbin. He was trying to sound like B. Arthur, but he...
And it just came out. I can't do Regis Philbin, but it was just sort of...
So Blanche, when's your beau going to get here? You know, it was kind of terrible.
Okay. You know, I was watching The Golden Girls the other day, and first of all, two things. I'm wondering if I should make this observation now or if I should wait. Okay, I'll make this observation now, but I'll say that this is paired with something else, a longer observation. I have a short observation, and it triggered another one that is sort of more in-depth. I'll save the in-depth observation until next hour, because it's in section that I mentioned from Seamus. Let me make a little note here. I will say this, though. I was watching an episode of The Golden Girls the other day. It is sort of surprising the amount of double entendre that show got away with. There was a great sequence where... it was a great sequence. I forget the setup, how they got to this line, actually. But it was where Rue McClanahan was actually noting that, you know, well, you know, I will tell you that three of the local city councilmen will testify to the fact that I am a great orator. And, you know, and then B. Arthur says, you know, that means speaker. And she went, oh. And then there was just like this long, awkward silence. And then hilarity because, you know,
yes,
the sex. So,
right.
Which is, you know. I mean, in 1987 or whatever, it's sort of interesting that they were able to say that, because that was it was a rather prudish time, relatively speaking. It's very odd. Okay, we'll call that the end of. We've done Golden Girls. We'll end things there. Once you've done the Golden Girls, you might as well just go out with that. Awesome. You were listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program featuring Clergy Watch, Taser Watch, and another installment of the greatest songs ever made, plus the second half of my zany sitcom observations. Second half, I didn't really mind. It's Seamus, but I'll pass it along because it's worth thinking about.
And it's zany.
That's right. It is. It's not even that it's zany, but it's also interesting, and it's something that I had never really thought about. It is something that sort of surprised me. He said, did you ever notice about the show blank? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and he laid this thing on, and I went, my God, I never really did. I didn't notice that. It's a thing that was underneath the radar this whole time, and it was actually sort of surprising. We'll tell you more about it next hour.
President Obama takes his plan on long-term deficit reduction.
Ooh.
President Obama?
Okay.
Barack Obama.
I thought you said a loaf of bread from the Franz Company.
No, President Barack Sasquatch Obama.
Okay.
Takes his plan on long-term deficit reduction to a town hall meeting in Virginia. He says the wealthiest Americans should make a little sacrifice by giving up tax cuts.
People who have been really blessed in the society like me and have, you know, a very, very, very good income can afford to pay a little bit more. Nothing crazy. Just go back to the rates that existed when Bill Clinton was president.
He says tax cuts must end for the wealthiest Americans.
If we're asking people who are going to see potentially fewer services in their neighborhoods to make a little sacrifice, then we can ask millionaires and billionaires to make a little sacrifice.
I don't even necessarily know that tax cuts need to end for the wealthy. I think we could just agree that, you know, like maybe tax increases for other people than the wealthy could stop. I think we'd call that a win, too. Really, or be a wash.
Or really,
maybe government could just spend a little less goddamn money on everything. How about that?
Or maybe rich people could actually just pay the amount that they're supposed to pay.
Well, rich people do. Rich corporations don't. But rich people do. Rich people pay a lot of goddamn taxes. Let's have no illusions about that.
Well, the Associated Press reported that the ultra-rich are paying less in taxes than they did a few decades ago.
Yeah, but the ultra-rich is almost no one. When people talk about, you know, the fat cats have to pay their... They're not talking about the ultra-rich because you don't even know the ultra-rich. The ultra-rich live in some private diamond-lined cave somewhere. I mean, they're talking about people who make, you know, 200 and 300 grand a year who, I assure you, pay a lot of goddamn money in taxes. I mean, some guy who's worth $9 trillion probably doesn't, but how many of those guys are there, really? I mean, not that many, I would imagine, and probably a lot of them not even in this country.
Well, the IRS keeps track of the 400 highest incomes each year, and in 2007, the last year available, the average was nearly $345 million. Those 400 people paid an average federal income tax rate of 17%, which is almost 10% percentage points less than they paid in 1992.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't care about 400 people. You know what I'm saying? It's like that is, it seems like focusing on that, that is the thing that rich people, I think, do to distract everybody else. They actually pointed people who are, you know, really rich but not ultra, like, mind-bogglingly rich. They use those guys as a bright, shiny object to distract you from what is happening to everybody else in all the other tax brackets. Who cares about those 400 guys? I mean, maybe they should pay more. Fine, you know, a lot of people should pay more. A lot of people should pay less. It seems like there's a huge, huge chunk of people between the rich and the mind-breakingly rich that we actually don't talk about, or, you know, corporations.
Yeah. Well, and the Associated Press did say the IRS points out that something like 45% of Americans who are in those upper tax brackets end up not paying any income taxes at all because of tax deductions and
that's what I'm saying. It's like that's the thing that they wave at people, so they go, "That's amazingly unjust. Let me focus on that to the exclusion of everything else." And it just seems. It seems like a disproportionate use of our time and interest, Don.
Well, all right. Then we will think of them no more.
Be gone.
Instead, think about this. This weekend marks the official opening of Naked Pool at the Artisan Hotel Boutique in Las Vegas. People will not actually be naked, but women are allowed to remove their bikini tops. It is sister to a swimming pool called Gossip the Pool at the Rumor Boutique Hotel. Both pools aren't new, but they're going with the Vegas flow and have morphed into party venues with sexy staff, DJs, and themed soirees.
Where is this?
Naked Pool is at a boutique hotel called the Artisan Hotel. These are like smaller hotels off the strip.
This is in Vegas.
In Vegas,
all right, okay.
Yes. Both are off the strip, not as big or as glam as the adult pools of the well-known resorts. But women often get in free, and the average entrance fee for out-of-town males is $10.
All right. Cue an irritating lawsuit from some embittered divorce guy in like 10 seconds.
Each pool is open 10 to 6 daily. Naked Pool's events include Beer Goggle Monday and Wasted Wednesday.
That's fantastic.
So you've got to recap, women are allowed to take their tops off and can get in free. Men who are from out of town could get in for $10, and they have something called Wasted Wednesday.
I'm all for this. Somebody's asking, are you and Don mind-bogglingly rich? Is this why you were taking this stance? No, here's my thing. It's not like I think it's fair, I guess, in this sort of colloquial sense, that some guy who makes $400 million a year pays less than a guy who makes, you know, 500 grand. It's not that. I guess my thing is this. Who am I? Look, if you can screw the government out of their taxes, go for it. I'm not going to bust on some other. That's like criticizing a guy who gets laid all the time because you don't get laid as much. If you can get away with paying the government less than you're supposed to, have at it. I don't care. I mean, we should all be for that guy shafting the government because the government shafts us all right back. My thing is that just serves as a distraction from the fact that the government just spends too much goddamn money. Like, that's the bigger problem. Like, none of this would be an issue if the government didn't need so much friggin' money from us in the first place, because the government just has all the self-control, as P.G. O'Rourke said, of a 16-year-old with whiskey and car keys. So, hey, if you can beat the government out of paying taxes, legally, have at it. I am all for rich, poor, in between, doesn't matter. If you can get away with paying less than your fair share, I am all for that. For me, for Dawn, for the rich, for anybody.
And for me, it's like I
root for that.
I just hate rich people.
That's
just me.
You know what? I'm for anybody who can screw the government back at all a little bit. I mean, the government is like in a screw-in business, so I'm for anybody that can give that back in spades or to any amount. Rick Emerson votes yes. On that note, we will bring the curtain down on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News. Don't forget, we come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com, and you can get this program later on via direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com or at iTunes. Have a fantastic day. We will see you again tomorrow, that is Wednesday at noon, for another installment of Legion of News. Good day to you, sir. I said good day to you!